Shout out to this Hendrix. I promise, I swear.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to the 503 for the Fans podcast. This is going to be a short episode. This is episode 3 where I'll be recapping the Portland versus Orlando game and we'll be talking about the game tomorrow night against the Denver Nuggets. So let's dive right into it. Portland came on top 115 to 112 last night, and I would say it was one of the uglier games of the season. Like, I would say about the defense. The defense was not showing up. The second half they did, I would say a little bit. They slowed them down a little bit. And that was due to a part of Vucevic not playing as much in the second half for the Orlando Magic, which was confusing. And it was due to Terrence Ross, who was hucking up shots. And I was even tweeting about it. And he has the biggest green light I've ever seen for a bench player. Like some Jamal Crawford stuff. Like he literally shoots the ball 90% of the time he touches the ball. He never gets assists. Honestly, he shoots the ball every single time he touches it. I feel like when I'm watching games against them, then that's just me. And I guarantee there's other people out there that think the same. Even Orlando fans, I bet they're tired of it. I mean, he scored 28 points against the Warriors the night before that, but still, like, he shoots way too much. He shoots some dumb shots, coming off screens, fadeaways, just some stupid stuff. And I would be frustrated as a fan, too, if I was Orlando. Let's talk about the man of the night, Damian Lillard. He came out on fire. I'm talking about on fire in the second half. He had 41 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 13 of 22 from the field. He shot 10 of 15 from the three-point line. That's a career high and a franchise record. He previously shared 9, which he got to a couple times, and he previously shared it with Nick Batum, and he finally got over the hump, and it was only during the third quarter. So it was like he could have made at least like 3 or 4 more threes in the fourth quarter, but I felt like he wasn't as aggressive as he was in the third quarter. I felt like he came into the fourth quarter kind of calm, and he kept on letting Turner pick up the ball when there was like crunch time. It was kind of confusing me because Orlando was coming back and it was like neck and neck, and he kept on saying Turner take up the ball, and I felt like he might have been gassed out from the third quarter because he did like literally give his all in the third quarter, and that's my guess, but won the game, so I mean that's all that matters. And let's talk about some other stats though. CJ, he came in at 15 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. He shot 6 of 17. Wasn't the most efficient night for CJ, and on the free throw line he had some questionable crunch time misses at the free throw line. So that's it wasn't his night tonight, last night. And I mean it's gonna be he's gonna have one of those nights, and he's hasn't been having as consistently the past couple games. I mean, have been struggling, but CJ's kind of been there, and I feel like him and Dame have been the only ones there during this 3-game losing streak the Blazers had before the Orlando game. And he's going to have a bad night. That's just going to happen. So let's talk about Nurkic, though. His shoulder injury didn't look like it was bothering him at all. I mean, he showed no signs of shying away from it. He showed no signs of not wanting to test it. And he was playing physical. He was diving on the floor. He was getting rebounds. He had 16 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists. He shot 4 of 11 from the field. He shot 1 of 1 from the three-point line. It was a huge three. And I'm talking about a huge three. It was the right three, too. I mean, he was open. Vucevic wasn't guarding him at the three-point line the whole night, and he shot the right one. And if I was Terry Stotts, I would be happy with that, because that's the right shot and he made it, so it's a win-win for Terry Stotts, you know. Let's talk about Sauce Castillo though. I mean, he finally had another night. Like, it was against the Lakers, he had 15 points in the first half. I'll talk about something though. It's kind of confusing. He had 15 points in the first half. He led all scores at halftime, and he only played 6 minutes in the second half. And it's kind of confusing because I felt like Stotts is kind of that guy that rides the hot guy. And I feel like he really rides the hot guy. Like, if someone's hot, he's going to keep him in the whole time. And even if it's like, unless it's Dame or CJ, he's going to ride with someone that's hot. And he didn't really ride with him in the second half. I mean, he wasn't even the first one off the bench, which was kind of confusing to me because we needed that shooting. And I think he missed one or two. I think he missed one or two after that. He was 5 of 8 from the three-point line. But still, like, he was on fire, and he was knocking down it. It was one of those nights where it looks like every time he releases the ball, it's gonna go in, you know. Let's talk about something else though. Mo Harkless, as a starter, only 13 minutes, and he's still rusty, and it's gonna happen. He missed a lot of time in the summer. He missed the full preseason. I mean, like, this is like, it's been 20 games in. He's missed some time too. He's missed a full month of the season, so he's gonna be rusty. I want fans to be more patient with him. They're frustrated. I saw some fans saying that put Layman in there over Harkless, which I could get, but like, Harkless is a better player overall, and he can add more to this team than Layman can. And I love Layman, but Mo Harkless is a better overall player, and he does a lot more for this team, I would say. Even on the defensive end, he's a better defender than Lehman. Lehman might be a better shooter than him, but sometimes Lehman can be inconsistent. So, I mean, I saw an article that Jake Lehman is probably fully out of the total rotation. And I would say that's a little confusing because Aminu has been struggling a lot. His shot is not there. The defense is always there. It's always going to be there. You're always going to get that with Aminu. But the offense has not been there for the past like 5 games. He hasn't made like multiple three. He hasn't made like a game where he's made 2 threes, and he was 0 for 2 for last night, and it's just another struggling part of the year for Aminu. And this is kind of the story of his career. He has stretches where he's really hot and he plays really well, and then he has stretches where he's not shooting well. He loses confidence in it. So I want him to keep on shooting. I wish he would make more shots, but I think he can totally come out of this slump, and we need that shot. We need his shots to fall because this team is a lot better when Aminu's three-pointers are falling, because it gives this team a dimension where if he's hitting his shot, the defense has to at least give him something. They're not going to just leave him out there like the Pelicans or like even the Clippers were doing against us three nights ago. They were just leaving Aminu. They're saying, okay, if you're going to make a couple shots, we're going to force you to make a couple shots. But if you're not, we're just going to keep on leaving you open. And that's where the Blazers plateau has been ever since last season. And it's honestly ever since Damian Lillard and CJ have been together. They haven't had the wing shooters to create space, to make shots for them. So defenders would lay off them and not double team them every single possession. But that's why I want the Blazers to try to find something in the trade deadline. And I've talked about that in other pods, and I'll talk about that in future pods. But I definitely want the Blazers to try to look for a wings 3-point shooter. It doesn't even have to be a star player, just someone that can consistently hit some shots and come to the game and play a little bit of defense. Let's talk about Orlando though. I feel like they are literally one piece away from being relevant. I think they're a good team. They're really a good team, and they were without Aaron Gordon and they were playing really well. I really like their rookie. I really like their rookies, and I like Mo Bamba. I like Jonathan Isaac. He's not a rookie. He's a sophomore, but I really like his game. He's gonna be a player in this league when he gets that jump shot. He's gonna be a player. And I was just thinking last night, I was like, dang, I wish the Blazers would have drafted him. He's nice, and I like his game, and I think he could create into a star player in this league. They have a lot of lanky guys on their team. They're going to be a scary team down the road. I really feel like that, and that depends if Vucevic is going to stay there, which I don't think. He'll probably be traded or be on another team, but I was impressed with Orlando. I mean, they've been impressive this year. They beat the Lakers twice. They swept the season series between them, and that's just ridiculous. Lakers needed to handle their stuff. There's a lot of Laker fans that are salty out there, and I'm just saying, like, well, if you would have handled your business against Orlando, you guys would have been, like, the third seed in the West right now. So let's talk about this though. I mean, Seth Curry, it's been a frustrating time for Seth Curry. He plays really hard, and he just hasn't yet to get that shot like felt the fall consistently. I mean, he hits a couple shots here and there, but I feel like I haven't seen him make 2 shots in a row this whole season. And he's a great player. He had to sit out a full year due to an injury, and which I can get some rust, but like the shooting needs to step up. We need him off the bench to score some points for this team to be good, for this bench to be good. Because when this bench is playing good, this team is literally a contender in this league. And that's hard to say, but they are a contender in this league when this bench plays well and their role players play well. And that could be for a lot of teams, but the Blazers have a team where if their role players are playing well, they have 2 stars that are literally unstoppable if their role players are playing well. It's ridiculous. You can't stop the Blazers if Aminu and Harkless or Nick Stauskas is doing stuff like that. If Nick Stauskas gives us 18, 20 points, I feel like that's automatically a Blazers win because you know what you're going to get from Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Let's talk about Nurk, though. Let's talk about him a little bit. I feel like people have not said a lot about Nurkic this year because I think they overlook his potential. Like, they overlook how he's been playing. I mean, he's been playing like godly to his standard. I mean, not godly. He's not averaging 20 and 20, but still, like, he's doing what he needs to do for this team. 16 and 13, that's a solid night. That's coming off a shoulder injury, and he's playing against one of the hottest guys in the league, Vucevic. I mean, Vucevic didn't he didn't have the best second half because they didn't go to him as much. But still, I mean, he only had 20 points. I mean, he played him really well. Vucevic put 30 and 16 on the Lakers. So that just speaks to how Nurk has played this season. And, well, I'm just proud of how he's been playing. I mean, Myers Leonard's been playing well. Collins has been struggling a little bit. I mean, this team's struggling. They need to find their way. They need to find their legs a little bit. Get this winning train back on the road, because I just really want to see this team in the top of the Western Conference. Like, they're sitting in the fifth spot right now. Okay, Golden State lost tonight against the Raptors. KD went absolutely off for 51. He's the best offensive player in the league right now, hands down. And he can play some defense. I'm impressed with KD. I mean, he hit some ridiculous shots against the Raptors. Just ridiculous. He hit a tie to tie the game at 119 with like a couple seconds left from like the logo. It was insane. And even CJ McCollum was saying KD straight in his bag tonight, which he was. And I hate to talk about KD and the Warriors on this show, but you got to give props to KD. I mean, they lost tonight. They're 14-8 now, so the Blazers are half game back of that. And the Blazers, if they win a couple games, they rally a couple games in the next three games or so. If they win the next three, they would be the first seed, honestly, because they're the fifth seed right now. There's only one game back. If the Clippers lose tonight, they would be only one game back for all teams through like 1 through 6. And it's crazy. Like, it's just crazy. Another crazy year for the Western Conference. Let's talk about the tomorrow night's game against Denver, though. I have some high expectations for this game. It's on ESPN. It's at 7:30. You know, Nurkic and Jokic, they do not like each other. Nurkic does not like Denver at all, which everyone knows, and he does not like Mike Malone, who is, I personally don't think is a good coach. I think he's had some really talented teams with Denver, and he's not executed. They've had some injuries in the past. I mean, Will Barton will be sitting out tomorrow night. He has been out for a portion of the year, and I think the Blazers, this is going to be a really tough game for the Blazers. Denver has been playing really well of late. They were 10-1. And then they magically lost 6 games in a row to 10-7, and they haven't lost since. They're playing well of late. It's hard to stop Jokic. If we stop him, though, that's gonna do the Blazers and a lot of favors. And if they can't let Murray do his thing either. Dame and CJ are gonna have to play some good defense on Gary Harris and Jamal Murray. But I think the Blazers will come on top, 110-106. And the reason why I think that is because I think Dame, He just came off a career night last night. He had 41, and I get that's on Orlando, and I get he's done that twice to Orlando, but Orlando's a good team, and they have good defenders. I mean, they were double-teaming him. They were doing everything they needed. I mean, he just had open threes in the transition game, and when the Blazers are on the transition, they are doing their transition game well. They're a really good team. They can shoot the hell out of the ball. They're a good team. So you can't leave them. You can't leave Damian Lillard space. He's going to knock it down 95% of the time. That's like a layup to him. So I think the Blazers will win tomorrow night. I don't think it's going to be an easy game. I don't think Damian Lillard is just going to go off for 40 points, but I wouldn't rule it out, because he's playing ridiculous right now, and he is my MVP of this year so far. And although the Blazers are 13-8, they've had a little slip up in the past 5 out of 7 games, he's still my MVP. He does everything for this team, and it sucks that he doesn't get as much exposure because we're on the West Coast, and a lot of high-end people are East Coast people, and they go to bed by the time our game starts. So that just speaks to it. But Damian Lillard needs to get more exposure. He got first team all NBA last season, and he's here to show it. And I'm just really proud of how he's been playing. He's just had mad control of the game, every single game, except for like the Bucks game, which was ugly, and the Golden State Warriors game, which was even uglier. He just had really good control. He's had control of the game last night. He said to himself, okay, I can't let this team slip up and lose. So he came out and gave us a show in the third quarter. This is gonna be a short episode today. I'm just gonna end it up here. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure to follow my Twitter at 503BlazerFans, and make sure to tune in for the next episode. Peace out, guys.